Would you bow with me as we prepare our hearts and minds for the message today? Amen. So it's October. October, all through this month, we are focusing on stewardship and integrity. Stewardship, caring for the gifts that God has given us in our lives. Integrity, being the people that God has truly created us to be. And today we do that by recognizing the abundance in which we live and recognizing that abundance is not simply handed to us, but it is something that we participate in. Abundance, then, is the child of wisdom. Because in so many ways, in order to have abundance, we have to be smart enough, wise enough to recognize abundance. I just got my roof reshingled. So it was so cool to watch this crew come in. There were five guys on the crew, and it was so much fun. None of them were from around this area, and so it was really great to watch their teamwork as they went up on my roof. They were there right promptly at 7 in the morning. The sun wasn't even up, and away they go. And in a day and a half, they had that whole roof like new. I love watching this because when I was younger, that was how I made my money. Starting at when I was a sophomore or junior in high school, all the way through college into young adulthood, I was a shingler. There was one job especially. It was up in Wells County, up in North Dakota, out on a farm in the middle of this huge North Dakota prairie. It was an old barn. Back in the World War I era, there it was like they had this competition in that county to see who could build the biggest, bestest barn. And so here was this awesome, amazing, hip roof, full-size barn. Holy smokes. Every single packet of shingles had to be carried up a 40-foot ladder. And then up another 40-foot ladder. The barn was that tall. And we did not have air guns. This was all in the day of the hammer. Every single nail was done by hand. And so it took us a couple weeks to get that barn done. That barn was on the fly route, and it was some of the most amazing time that I'd spent just being on a fly route for B-52 bombers coming out of Minot Air Force Base. This was in the day before the lawsuits, where the farmers had actually taken the Air Force to court to say, quit flying so low, you're hurting our cows. Well, those pilots were still flying that low. When those B-52s would come over, we literally would wave at the pilots. They were that low as they came over. And there was just so much joy inside of it. It was hard, hard work. And by the time we were done, of course, that we had the summer tan, shirts off, ready to go. And we always had the radio on. And there was one song in particular that any time and every time we were listening to K-Fire, K-F-Y-R, the most listened to radio station in North Dakota at that time. And every time they would play one particular song, we would all stop and we'd take our hammers and we would dance as that song would go. So much joy and so much hard work. And because of all that hard work, oh, we got to live in abundance. I got a paycheck. And with that paycheck, I paid the bills that I needed to pay, and I saved what I needed to save. Where did that abundance come from? That abundance came from hard work and joy and wisdom. This is what I need to do. This is what's going to have to happen. Abundance is a child of wisdom. Oh, and watching the roofers on my roof the other day, oh, I recognize these guys move fast because after all the hail in the spearfish area, they get paid by the linear foot. They just go and go and go. They're not getting paid by the hour. They're getting paid by the work. And when they get their paychecks, they are taking that paycheck, they keep as little as they need, and then they send the rest home to their families. And it was so much fun with the work crews that I've met this summer to say, hey, do you have family at home? What's your family? What's this look like? Yeah, there's joy and there's abundance. And it all comes out of wisdom. What does it take? What does it take to claim that abundance? Well, it takes our own hard work in many different ways, in many different areas inside of our life. Some of it's physical hard work, and some of it is just paying attention and getting done what needs to be done. Let me tell you about that parable that you heard today. There are two different versions of the parable of the great banquet. One is found in Matthew 22. It is a much darker telling of this story, and it is a parable that's all about judgment. But the one that I chose today was in Luke. This is a parable that is told about grace. And there was a man who was throwing a wedding for his son. And they sent out the invitations, and all of the people who were invited didn't come. Oh, they were all legitimate excuses. I just got married. I have property I need to check on. I have cows that need to be checked. I mean, these are all very, very legit. But they didn't accept, and they didn't come. And so the master rose up, and he said, staff, go, town, get them. And they brought in everybody from the local area. And they sat them all down, and his staff came to him and said, boss, we still have open places. And he said, go out to the gas stations, go out onto the highway, flag people down, and make them come. Make them come. And they were so much joy. A couple years ago, my daughter Grace got married. And we went down to Arizona for the wedding. That is where her husband could be near his family. And it was so beautiful, and it was so amazing. And then we came up. We came up 10 days later into the Twin Cities for the wedding dance. And Murphy's Law said, boom, blizzard. Oh my gosh, we got hit. All of that, all of the plans that you could just see going up in smoke to say, no, 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 don't be a blizzard here. Don't be a blizzard now. And it was. And people started calling in to say, we can't make it. So my family changed strategy. And they started putting out on Facebook. We started calling friends that we knew were in the area and to say, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing? Can you make it? Can you get through the snow? Can you get through the storm? Because here's free food and a dance band and a great night. And so it was so much fun welcoming complete strangers into this wedding dance. There was so much joy, and there was so much abundance. Even on a night when so many people couldn't make it, there was so much joy. This is what we're about. This parable that says you are invited into God's grace, meaning into God's abundance. But now, take a look at this. When we are invited into God's banquet, it does not mean that we are invited for one meal. It does not mean that we are invited for one day. It means that we are invited for a lifetime of abundance. There is no room for scarcity thinking. There is no room for us to say, there's not enough. Good thing I got mine because you're not getting any of it. No. If we say that we are following Jesus Christ, it means that we are surrendering a huge part of who we are into the world. A world that is filled with God's abundance, and we are invited to the party. Why? Because God cares about the party. God cares about inviting anybody and everybody into the party. Do you deserve to be there? No. Was there any particular reason you should have received an invitation? No. God just says, you're invited. It's the abundance. It's the party. Come on, everybody in. Now, we are in the midst of pandemic. You know this. There's so much that's going out. Today, as we talk about stewardship and integrity, what I want to do is to give you something that is extremely practical. We are invited into abundance, but that doesn't mean that abundance is just handed to us. It means that we get to participate in the abundance. And sometimes abundance means hard work. I was always raised with the saying that said, get down on your knees and pray as if everything depended on God. But then get up off your knees and work as if everything depended on you. We listen to this. That verse that came to us out of the Old Testament today, diligence. Proverbs is talking about diligence. Where there is diligence, there is abundance. And where there's haste, there's shortage. You remember the story, the fable of the ant and the grasshopper? And the ant worked hard all summer, storing up food for the winter, while the grasshopper stood by and fiddled and watched and teased him. And come winter, the ant lived in abundance, while the grasshopper had nothing. Well, it's like that. Okay, now be careful. What I'm not going to be saying is that you have to work to earn God's grace and abundance. What I'm saying is we are called to participate in God's abundance. And that means that we work side by side with God. We work hand in hand with others who are following Jesus Christ also to create the abundance that should not just be for us alone, but the abundance that we live in as family, as church, as community, as world. John Wesley once said, as he was talking about stewardship and integrity himself, he was saying, you need to earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. All right, there's a very specific way that I'm going to go with this, and this is into the practicality of what does it mean in your budget, in your monthly expenses, what does it mean for you to live financially in wisdom so that you can live financially in abundance, so that your abundance can get you through the winter, so that your abundance can meet not just your needs, but the needs of those around you. I'm going to give you six things inside of this and want you to take consideration of this. You might want to push the pause button right now and go get a pencil and paper. Ready? Okay, here we go. Six key financial principles that I want you to have. These are just common sense, but they're absolutely key to helping to give you financial stability to make it through pandemic, to make it through the times that are tight. And for many of us in this nation, the times are going to get even tighter as we go. So here we go. Here would be the advice that I would give to you. Number one, when we talk about God's abundance, put the tithe and your gifts to God first. When Scripture talks to us about the tithe, it talks about taking the 10% of what you make, what you create, what you earn, and giving that back into God. The point is that all of this is God's gift to us. And all we're doing is simply returning a portion of what is God's already back into God's hands. And what you will discover, if you can actually try this and do this, you'll discover that for some strange reason, when we focus ourselves in God, that 9/10 actually goes farther than 10/10. So, number one, tithe and give to God. But then the second one is this. Create a budget and be tracking where your expenses are going. It's really, really hard to keep track and to know if you have enough money to get to the end of the month if you don't know where that funding is going. So for some of us, that means go get software on your computer, go put Quicken on there and do it that way. For some of us, it means just get a notebook and keep track of it. But however you do it, make a budget. Keep track. All right? Here's the third thing. Simplify your lifestyle. Simplify your lifestyle. What is it that you are getting right now? What is it that you are buying that you really don't need? Ooh, how many times have you gone out to Walmart and you've gone out for one thing and you made the mistake of getting the big grocery cart? And instead of walking out of there with one thing, you have seven things. Well, it's not that you needed them. It's just that, oh, well, as long as I'm here, I might as well. How much extra stuff do we have in our homes? What would it be like if we would simplify and not have that much stuff in our homes? Interesting thought. There's the invitation. All right? So it's pay your tithe and your offering first, create a budget and track your expenses, simplify your lifestyle. Here's the fourth one, and that is establish an emergency fund. Now, you can do this in any amount that you want, but the point is build yourself a buffer so that when you get hit in the face with the next emergency, that you actually have the buffer in place. One of the things that was so real in my life, especially when we were first married, were those overdraft charges. Doggone it. My wife and I, Colleen and I, were trying to figure out how do we do the budget together and how do we run the checkbook together. And the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. And that meant that we would just get smacked with overdraft charges. Well, one of the ways to prevent that in our lives is get that buffer, so that when we make mistakes in our paperwork, when we have emergencies come up, that we're actually ready. Some people will have 100, some will have 500. When you go into some of the projects that are out there and ways to do this, they'll recommend to have 1,000. Whatever it is for you, put that buffer and hide it away so that you've got it and it can't be touched. All right, the fifth thing is this, your credit cards. Can you pay off those credit cards? And if you have extra credit cards, can you take the ones that are higher interest? Can you take the extras that you really don't need or use and cut them? Just get rid of them. What is the interest rate on those credit cards? It can sometimes be just horrendous. And that bill constantly, constantly hanging over your head. So pay off those credit cards and develop the strategy that says that you don't have that hanging over your head every single month. Now, the sixth one then, the last one, is consider how to enter into some form of investment. Whether that is just savings, if you take 10% and give to the church a month, why don't you take 10% and give to yourself each month? What would that look like? How would you gain greater stability? Okay, so these six things that can make a huge, huge difference. What I'm inviting you into is God's abundance. But God isn't going to simply say, congratulations, you won the lottery, here's your $6 million. That's not how it works. It's the abundance that says we have to work for everything that we have. So how about we work in the joy and the abundance of God, helping to discipline ourselves to work hard and to save and step by step to pull ourselves up. Now, I do fully realize that many of us will say, oh my gosh, Scott, you have no idea what's going on in my medical bills and my car payments and my school debt and this is really hard. Yes, yes, I know that. It's really hard. But I also know that the payoff is huge. When we focus ourselves and surrender our lives to Christ, one of the things that it can give us is a deeper peace, even when we're dealing with our bank statement. It can give us a deeper ability to say, you know, because of my faith, I don't think I need that. I would prefer to have that. It can take years to make this effectively happen. But what I know is that you can do it, and that it makes a huge, huge difference. God cares about the party. God cares about the process. God cares about the joy. You have been invited to God's party. But it's a party in which God says, come on, let's work together. Not just for a day, but for a lifetime. I'm inviting you into stewardship and integrity. May it be that you accept God's invitation. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we lift up what's going on inside of our lives financially. We lift up what's going on with all the difficulties, all the reasons why this shouldn't work, and simply ask, could you please guide us to help it work? Give to us, Lord, your blessing and your presence each day, that day by day we may live as you would have us. In Jesus' name, amen.